Impressors! We are Impressors!
Hello and welcome back to another TNI UK Impacted, coming to you live via the Total Nonstop Impact Network on YouTube and on Twitch. I'm your host today, Simply Steve, and today I'm joined by the one and only Joker. How are we doing today, my man?
We're good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Quite a lot better after another fantastic day of wrestling on Friday night.
Oh yes, fantastic. Multiverse of matches, full feast of epic proportions, guys.
Yeah, you can say that, yeah. Where we had a bit of everything, didn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure. So I think everyone pretty much enjoyed it. I think we've got a whole, you know, everyone in. Courtney, Violet got in. Miz just turned up. Cheers. What's that?
Oh, Terence is in.
Yeah, Terence, welcome, bud.
It's good to see everybody. How's everyone doing?
Yeah.
Bison's still not well, guys. So he's away this week.
Yeah. Send your love to the Bison. Sure he could do with all the wishes that he can do with, because yeah, it's taking a bit longer to get over than he needed. We could do with him back. Bless him.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome, Donald. Great to have you here, my man.
Good to see you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I say, let's have a look at some of the latest news that we saw. I mean, this is kind of nearly a week old, but we didn't get to cover it last week, so it happened just after. But, you know, great news on an Impact side was Impact's own Ace Austin signing a multi-year deal. You know, that's always good news, isn't it? You know, you forget how good it is hearing Impact talent re-signing and hearing that they're re-signing for X amount of years.
Yeah.
You know, it just shows that, you know, it's good when you hear talent that is there, that they're happy, that they want to stay.
Definitely, and Ace Austin said he's got a lot of unfinished business still to attend to, and that's exactly what guys like Chris Bay have said too, that, you know, they intend to go that extra mile before they go completely, if they decide to go at all. So, you know, and Ace Austin's got the World Championship in mind, I'm pretty sure, and I know Chris Bay has already. He's already said it, and we'll be getting on to her very soon, don't worry, Courtney, so, but by all means, keep the shock and vibes in for her. Because that was just incredible. but Ace Austin, yeah, I'm really, really pleased to see what he has to say. And I'm pleased to know he's here for at least 2 years, possibly 3 years. You know, it just he's been one of the best wrestlers to come to the company since I've been watching. And he's been one of the most professional wrestlers, no disrespect to Brian Myers, since I've seen for God knows how long. You wouldn't think he's literally just starting out in his career, you know, 25 years old. He's one of the most well-disciplined wrestlers out there. He's just an absolutely outstanding performer. And he comes across as an arrogant, as a cat in character, but he's one of the most respectable guys you could talk to.
Just shows how well he plays his characters, doesn't
yeah.
it? Because he's outside the ring. He's just such a professional.
Yeah. Outside the ring.
And it just shows, like you say, how good his character is, that he can basically be two different people.
And
when you talk about characters, you know, someone else that I know you were very keen to talk about is how well one Sami Callihan is doing with his recovery, and how, you know, how much closer we're getting to seeing him back in the ring.
Yeah, he mentioned this with his interview with Jonah a couple of weeks ago. We didn't get to cover it, and I managed to catch up with it last over the weekend. His bones and that, where all the injuries have been, all the fractures and that, are now fully healed. As I've mentioned before, he's undergoing physiotherapy. Now that's the main focus now, is physiotherapy and also mental rehabilitation, because he's getting a lot of anxiety from being at home for such a long time. This has been the longest injury he's ever had and the most serious injury he's ever had. He said it himself during his chat with Jonah. Usually when he's been hurt, he's gone out. He's out a week or two and then he's back in, whether he's hurt or not. But this one, when you listen to the interview with Jonah and you listen to his interview we had with Mickey James and even Jay White beforehand, and not Jay White, sorry, I forgot who the bloke he was he interviewed after Mickey James was, which was annoying because that was one of the longest interviews he did. He even said then that, you know, the actual mental toll of not doing what he's been doing on a regular basis for so long is just a huge shockwave for him. And So I think, you know, Scott DeMore giving him the opportunity to keep going ahead with Callahan and Sensen has definitely helped. It's definitely kept his morale up and it's kept him engaged with the company a lot more than he would have been just stuck at home watching it on TV. So good luck to Sammy Callahan, and hopefully we'll see him soon.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like, it'd be great to see Sammy back, and you know what he's going to bring, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Fucking bats.
Yeah. Could just say a big thank you to David Samuel Blaine, just set us a super sticker. Absolutely, huge thank you for that, my man. If you want to hear any soundbite, you know, let us know down and we'll play it for you, my man. Thank you ever so much for that.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in. Hello to Bonus Baby as well, who has joined us. If you've joined us before, then thank you very much. If not, then welcome along.
No, he's a new guy. I've not seen him before.
Yeah, like I said, don't recognize the name. So yeah, no. Welcome.
Yeah, we're not. I can just say, one of his earlier comments, we're not always this punctual. Believe me, there's times that we've been 10-15 minutes late. So this is a pretty rare opportunity that we're actually jumped straight in and ready to go.
Yeah.
And one from Courtney now. So we got Hardcore Country coming for Courtney.
Thanks so much, Courtney, as well. They're all flying in now.
Yeah, bonus baby, some comment on Ace Austin. Yeah, the news on Ace Austin is absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
You know, I want to know what you guys think. You know, where do you see him going, guys? Do you think it's time to go for the world title, or do you see him stuck in the X Division a bit longer? You know. You know, option C is obviously out there too, which I'm not a huge fan of, but if Ace Austin uses it, then I'm gonna bloody pop for it, because it's something that I think he actually did intend on doing. So I think, or he did tease he'd do it when Tessa Blanchard was world champion. He did tease that he would go for option C and just go straight for Tessa Blanchard that way, but she gave him a title match instead regardless, and they had a fucking good match together. So
yeah,
It was always there. Ace Austin could just go option C and jump straight to it, but it just makes Rebellion a lot more exciting. Now you know he's definitely going to be a serious contender in this match with Mike Bailey and Trey Miguel. He's not going to be one to obviously lose the match.
And that might have changed the outcome of the match had he not re-signed, mightn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think Madman Fulton is done now with Impact Wrestling. It's not been announced, but given how Ace Austin reacted last week and how, when the last set of tapings when Josh Alexander had her in the ankle lock and broke his ankle, Ace Austin just left the ring and walked away. I think that's Madman Fulton being written off and Ace Austin's finally going back to solo, which...
Could we see Fulton cost Ace, do you think, at all?
We could do, but it then doesn't make sense having him fighting with Fulton, really, when they've not really had much any back and forth in the ring beforehand. So it'd be starting a rivalry for the sake of starting the rivalry, when the better thing for them both would be
and to I think move like on. I think like Bison has said, I think if they wanted to do anything with Fulton, they sadly would have done it by now.
Yeah, if anything, they should have had him versus W. Morrissey.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it is a shame, but he is someone with so much potential that they've never never seem to find a place for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I say something else that Impact announced, I think it was yesterday, that they've announced the next set of tapings coming up in May. They're going to be going to Florida, aren't they? The Citrus Brawl TV tapings in May, on May the 13th and May the 14th. And I will say the poster for this looks amazing.
The poster, it just shows Citrus, you just see bleeding in orange. Mm. And it's just like, yeah, bang, gets your attention straight away.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot better than Skyway Studios, or was that in Orlando?
Orlando as well.
Yeah, it was in Florida, yeah. So it's going to be a lot better than there.
Yeah, but no, it's nice for them to go back to Florida every now and then. They're definitely covering more areas now, aren't they? They're in New York, Kentucky, and now Florida again. They're definitely starting to tour more, aren't they?
Yes, that's a good thing to see. Hopefully, by the end of the year, we might even see them go to Mexico or Canada.
Mm. Yeah, that will be the next step, won't it? It seems like little steps at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll try and cover that a little bit later, Bonkers, but, you know, fingers crossed. Yeah, and I say with that, I think we'll sort of start and touch on what we saw at the weekend with Multiverse matches.
Okay, dokie. Let's get to it. We want people buggering off to shit.
we opened with a pretty manic Ultimate X match with defending X Division champion Trey Miguel taking on Chris Bay, Vincent, Rich Swann, Jordan Grace, and Blake Christian, with this match changing two or three times, didn't it?
Yeah.
But I think the outcome we got was a pretty good match in the end.
Yeah, it was a decent length, especially for an opening match and an Ultimate X match, you know, because the card was really constricted. So they got a decent amount of length from it, and they got a decent amount of action from everybody in the match, you know, especially Blake Christian jumping off of the structure outside the ring.
Mm.
That was absolutely insane. I was hoping we'd see Trey do something like that, but to see Blake Christian do it and just remind everyone what he can do.
Definitely.
Yeah, we saw Vincent flying. The only person who didn't take to the air was Jordan Grace, which is a shame. But everyone had their moment in this match, and it was just brilliant. I was even expecting Jordan Grace to pick up the win at some point, but it was just a real, real solid match, and probably one of the most enjoyable Ultimate X matches I've seen for a while. Not discounting how enjoyable the Knockouts Ultimate X match was. I'm just talking about every match in general in one category.
Yeah, I mean, I felt it felt slightly short of that. I felt like it wanted another 5 minutes or so, maybe.
I did think it was short. It was shorter than I'd hoped, but when you look at the cards in the long run, it was a decent amount of length.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you had a really nice build throughout the match, and although you felt Trey was going to be a win. Realistically, you'd have been happy with any of these guys winning. And it's the finish felt a bit strange because all Vincent did was pull Grace down. And you did wonder, could we see anything from that? Because Grace was looking at Vincent like, seriously? So I really hope we see something between those two, because that would be a hell of a match.
This might be a way of getting Alessia Edwards more involved against Alan Nimora now as well. If Jordan Grace is going up against them, you know, they interfered with the Good Brothers versus Violent by Design and cost them the match too. So it adds to their antagonist role as well. So it was a really interesting way to finish it. But I'm hoping we do see Jordan Grace versus Vincent even once, because that's going to be fantastic.
And shout out to Rich Swann with his Scott Hall tribute at the start. That was brilliant with his entrance. I thought that was great, and throwing the toothpick in Chris Bay. Shout out to Hakeem. Welcome along, bro. It's great to have you. But yeah, say it's a great way to kick off the show. And when you start a show with an Ultimate X, you know it's only going to go up from here.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a Good Brothers promo after this, which it was quite amusing actually, seeing how confident they were. And I actually found Doc really amusing in this promo.
He's always got that edge to him that makes you smile, even if he's trying to be really intimidating. There's always something that makes you giggle.
Well, it takes a little
to make me giggle, but you know it makes you smile. Mm. And then you know he's a seriously intimidating guy, but he has that bit of fun and I don't know if glamour's the right word, but you know that vibe to it. Like you know he's going to kick your ass, but you're going to enjoy watching him kick your ass.
I've started to find if you want the serious side of the Good Brothers, you need Carl to do the promos.
Yeah.
but no, it was a good little bit backstage, which then led us to, you know, the mixed tag between Chelsea Green, or should we say the card owners, and the Aldises.
This was good.
Yeah, which again was a really good match. And I'll give him this. Aldis didn't get a bad reception when he came back.
No.
You know, it was a lot better than I thought. And the match itself, it was booked pretty well. And overall, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, this was more of a story-driven match because we didn't see a huge amount about Aldis in, but they got Mickey James really, really beaten down badly by both of them, which is, you know, Mark, we know you're not the biggest fan of Aldis. Let's put it this way. If Bison was here, we wouldn't be able to finish this whole sentence. We'd just be jumping ahead now.
We wouldn't even be allowed to cover this match if he was here.
No. So, Aldis, he got a decent, good reception from the crowd, which is just great to see that there's no hard feelings or no bitterness, that end at least. Mm. I was pleased to see him. And I was really, really happy with what he did in the match. And but Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green really, really just pushed out that they are now full blown heel, whether you like accept it or not. And the amount of punishment Mickey James took from both of them was just incredible.
Oh yeah.
And the one thing I do question is the finish of the double clover. Leaf. I think you said Cloverfield. Yeah. Thinking of that bloody film. And the double Cloverleaf. It was a great, great finish. But I have to agree with Matt Cardona. I think it was the wrong person tapped out first.
I just question the finish as a whole. You had this whole sort of storyline of Chelsea turning on Mickey. And getting this whole heat on her, and then the first match where they have, she loses.
Yeah,
it seemed very strange for Chelsea to lose in the first match that they had. Yes, it was a tag match. I mean, maybe if Nick would have pinned Cardona, it would have felt a little different. But even so, it felt really strange how they won and Chelsea lost to Mickey.
Yeah, this is really pushing the Cardona versus Aldis rivalry over more than Mickey James versus Chelsea Green. So I think there's more room for it to expand on Impact Wrestling now. Because
the crowd didn't like it either, I don't think.
No, that was the only thing that disappointed me. I wanted to see a bit more from the rivalry between Mickey James and Chelsea Green, because the match did feel it was more about expanding, showing off the NWA more. But then Mickey James was representing NWA in this match too, so it just makes sense that then that aspect that it is all about Aldis versus Cardona in the end rather than Green versus James.
Yeah, and he did bring out the NWA title this time, which was nice to see again.
Yeah, that was interesting too. Just add that extra salt in the wounds of Aldis, and it was nice to see that title again. I must admit, it's been a while since I've seen. Nice to see it back on Impact Wrestling.
It's got to be, 2007 since it was last on the TV here?
Yeah, I think so.
So yeah, that's not. It's nice to see it again. But yeah, like I say, we go from that into the interview with the champ, Deonna Purrazzo. And this was a great interview. And was it only me who after this interview thought this was going to be the main event?
I did think it was. I really hoped. I thought it was going to be a lot higher up on the card than it was. I thought this might have even been the main event, especially. I'd watched this on Saturday, so I'd known that Taya Valkyrie had already made her appearance as well. So I was thinking that Taya Valkyrie appearing would be like the thing that ended the whole show, rather than you got the Good Brothers and the Briscoes, which is fantastic. But I really do think that Deonna Purrazzo would have been the main event of the night.
Yeah, I mean, prior to the show, I thought it was going to be near the event, but it was either a question that was asked or something she said that made me think, oh, this could be the main event. But it obviously wasn't. But yeah, throughout the night, you were thinking this must be the main event, and yeah, it just got you thinking, who could we see?
I had no idea if Sabi Apache is still coming up until the match actually started, which was really good. I kept thinking that it would be someone going for the Ring of Honor title, and I thought it might have been Athena, as we mentioned her last week, or someone along the lines of that. But no, it was great that they got someone to go after the AAA title as well.
Yeah,
it really really threw everybody off. And I suppose it's also two fingers to Tony Khan with his fake paper champion as well. So there's no point in showing that off at the moment. Not until he gets the real champion recognized.
Tino Brown. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, for me, up to this point, I mean, this was easily my match of the night. Alex Shelley versus Mike Bailey.
Yes. Absolute show stealer of a match. This was just Mike Bailey. He'd wrestled 9 matches in total over 3 days, and each of them had lasted at least 7 minutes or so. And this match was, because you could see the scars on his chest from his match. He literally just had a bandido. And I've seen Mike Bailey go hardcore. But my God, no, the amount of punishment he took in this match was just insane. And there's just so much to say about this match. I don't want to bore you to death with the amount of praise I got for both competitors.
Yeah. This had a bit of everything, didn't it? It had a bit of like mat wrestling. It had a bit of high flying. It even had a bit outside the ring. And obviously what both men can do, like, with strikes and that, it really kind of ticked every box, didn't it?
Yeah.
And like we said prior, you had Shelley versus Jay White, which was teacher and student. This had that same kind of feel, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I really did. You would have in some ways this surpassed Jay White versus Alex Shelley. I must admit, I loved that match, but this match I just enjoyed it so much more. Mike Bailey added that there's just something about Mike Bailey that just really, really has my interest, you know. And that the speed he went through this entire match was just consistent. He didn't slow down much at all in this match.
He did
Alex Shelley, and you wouldn't have thought that, you know, Bailey would then have to go through at least 6 or 7 matches to following on from this as well.
That Ultimo weapon on the ring apron made me got shudder. That really did. I was like, oh God.
That made me
I thought Shelley was gonna get the win there. I was like, there's no way he's coming back from that, but yeah, you know, it's and I have to say, when Bailey won this, you just had that feeling, well, Shelley's lost this. Saban's got to win later, isn't he? There's no way the guns can come out of this 2-0.
No, I was surprised Bailey won. I really didn't expect him to pick up the
gun. I thought
but it was a really, really, it's one of the things that made the match so fantastic, really. Whoever won deserved it. But I thought Alex Shelley would get the win, just to give momentum, and then Chris Bay would most likely lose to Jay White. But then I'm also not taking into consideration that this is really more of an independent show than an impact run show.
But that's an interesting point, the fact that it is an independent show, but they have managed to work some storylines into it.
Yeah, they've done a really good job with that, and that's just kudos to Impact Wrestling for using their brains.
Definitely, yeah. And speaking of using the brains and kind of taking things to the max, I think after this was probably one of my most enjoyed segments. I think I had on the night was the Influence interview with Gia Miller. How great. this for me, just the Influence are just growing with every segment they have.
Yeah, this was so again, it got to show Tennille Dashwood actually she has got charisma. She has got an attitude. But Gia was getting pestered from side to side by both of them, back and forth, and when it just finished with Tennille Dashwood screaming in her face, that made me laugh. Everyone wants to know where Caleb was. I actually forgot where he was that weekend. He was wrestling somewhere else, but he wasn't in Texas. He was elsewhere.
But no, I think as well that her and Madison just feed off each other very well, and they just have that chemistry. And I think obviously how Madison is, it's helping Tennille come out of her shell a bit.
Yeah.
Definitely. And
she's needed someone to work with like that for a while, and it's really paying off.
Yeah, and this promo segment, I think, has just shown how far the Influence and Tennille have come. Because and especially with Gia as well, because they the three of them worked off each other very well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Gia's interaction with all the talent is always so entertaining.
You can't be an interviewee without a
reader. Sorry, you just got to read her face, and you just think, or you laugh along, or you actually feel scared for her sometimes as well. Tennille Dashwood cradling in the belt like a baby. Yeah,
I still think the best is yet to come from this team. It really is, but they then went into their match, which again for me this was one of the most enjoyable matches on a fun element of the night. You know, he had the Influence versus taking on Decay, Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans, and then Lady Frost and Giselle Shaw. This for me was a perfect match to put in the middle of the show, because it was just a kind of match you'd sit down and just think, this is just a bit of fun to break up the show. And I was skeptical of Lady Frost and Giselle Shaw going into this, but man, did they work good as a team. Yeah. I want to see them going as a team going forward. I really do.
Yeah, I think they could actually legitimately work well as a team if they can get the angle right for them to actually not necessarily 1-10 face and 1-10 heel, even to keep them down this angle of where they just don't like each other, but they work well together. It would remind me of is Al Snow when he teamed up with Steve Blackman. people that just don't connect well in character, but they work brilliantly together in the ring. I was just so impressed with this match. You know, all teams had a fantastic showing. Lady Frost and Giselle Shaw stole the match for me. The double team work they did together was just amazing. Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans had a decent showing too. We got to see Savannah Evans do something, and no disrespect to Savannah Evans, but we don't see enough of her in the ring. And so to see her do something like that, do something in the ring, is just good to see. And part of me was thinking, could Tasha Steeles and Savannah Evans win the titles. Would that extra we wouldn't hear the end of it from Tasha Steeles, really, would we?
No, that was one point where, like, you sort of think, oh god, she'll have two belts, and then you had the other point of like, well, if Rosemary wins if Decay wins, then Rosemary will have the tag titles, and then she could win at Rebellion. That's two titles there. You did have two incidents where you could have one knockout holding two titles, and they did say it was only Gail Kim, Madison Rain that had done that.
Yeah, that when they said that, part of me was thinking then Tasha Steeles is going to get the pin in this match, or it's an inkling for something that might be coming soon. Could Rosemary beat Tasha Steeles at Rebellion and then Decay win knockouts tag team titles? That would be ideal if that did happen. Even if it was just a couple of months and Rosemary loses the knockouts title, at least you'd have the tag titles to fall back on. But it would just be something to reward her for being so devoted to the company.
Definitely.
And I'm a huge fan of Rosemary, so I'll just pop for no reason.
It would definitely be something to put on your resume, wouldn't it? I'd be intrigued to see what you think about, I think it was something Madison said in the interview, about how the situation of the tag team division is, where basically they're the only official team in the match, because you basically got Tasha and Savannah, and one of them is just a lackey, and then you got Havoc and Rosemary, and one of them is in the knockouts title picture, so the other one is a lackey, and then the other team, both of them just hate each other, so they can't be considered a team. And it's like, that's an interesting way of looking at the tag team division.
it's sadly true, but not calling any of them lackeys. No, but it does throw the knockouts tag team title picture into it's gonna go back to the inspiration versus the influence at Rebellion, most likely.
I think it is, yeah.
But how they build it is gonna be interesting, because I'm hoping they do some Lady Frost and Giselle Shaw going forward to at least keep them as possible contenders, because they work so well together, they can't just let that slip away.
I sort of feel that that'll just go back to them feuding as a singles.
Yeah.
I don't know. It would be great if long term they plan to bring them together.
Yeah.
Because they do work so well together. There is something there.
Yeah, there definitely is. Just having a look at some of the comments here. A lot of praise for Lady Frost and Giselle Shaw.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, everything they did was in tandem, you know.
Yeah.
So you know when you've got that instant chemistry with someone.
Definitely.
Yeah, and like I say, I'm sure that this next match was probably something one of your matches of the night. But we had an interview backstage with, Eddie Edwards. Yes. He said he's happy to represent Noah because it represents honor. And then he then took on Tomohiro Ishii in another match of the night, really, you know, old school Japanese wrestling to its purest, really. It's Japanese. It was a strong style match, really, wasn't it?
Very, very, very strong style, and all about in-ring storytelling over big spots. And Eddie Edwards did a lot of shout outs to stuff he did back in Japan. You know, he did a modified version of the Blue Thunderbomb, which was incredible, and he was trying to go for the Die Hard Flosion or Die Hard Driver, and sadly his leg just gave out. But the match itself, you know, it was so competitive. I really did think Eddie Edwards had this match won, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what Ishii is going to do against Jonah now. This whole match really, really brought Ishii into the spotlight and showed you what he can do. And it was really about showing everyone who Ishii is, if you don't know who he is.
Yeah.
And what he's going to do against Jonah, because he just took a hell of a battering from Eddie Edwards and dished out an even bigger one to Eddie. It couldn't have gotten any closer. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing him take on Jonah at Rebellion. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah. say hi, Punk. You know, great to see you in here again, bud.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys.
Yeah, didn't see you for a while.
Yeah, I was surprised Eddie Edwards lost, but looking back at it now, it does make sense because it's all about, like I just said, you know, showcasing who Ishii is, and then just adding on to him versus Jonah. But I am as a fan of Eddie Edwards, and I was hoping Eddie Edwards would have won them just to give Honor No More a bit more momentum, and because I'm such a huge fan of Eddie Edwards, so I was a bit disappointed that he didn't win. But I know he can make he's going to make this turn around in his favor one way or another, and he's also got Jonathan Gresham soon, so hopefully we'll see some redemption there.
Yeah, like I say, it's a tricky one because you have Eddie Edwards part of Honor No More, and you know needs to be made to look strong, but you've got someone coming in Ishii who also needs to be made to look credible. And I mean, no one walked away in that match as a loser.
No, Ellie just walked away in disappointment.
But yeah, it's like you had so many matches on this card that were matches of the night in different ways. You know, this was a match of the night, and so was Mike Bailey versus Alex Shelley. But they were matches.
Those are my top two.
Yeah, but they were matches of the night in different ways. You can't compare them, can you?
No. If you had to do a top two, there'd be 1.5 and stuck there. Yeah. or not 0.5 and stuck there.
Yeah, they're completely different matches, aren't they? In style. So it's very difficult to rate matches when you don't have a card where they're all very similar. But yeah, it's a very this was a if you like, you know, like your strong star matches, this is the match for you.
This was a bangorama. It's great.
Yes. From there we go into, like, I guess your main event sort of title match, Josh Alexander and Jonah versus PCO and Moose.
Yeah.
And again, this was more about your story, I guess, than your kind of in-ring. The in-ring was still fantastic, but it was there to mainly tell your story, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was there to carry forward the whole rivalry between Josh Alexander and Moose, really. And PCO, unfortunately, got injured during this match, I think. So he's out of action. But then, of course, I think he might have been hurt leading up to this. So they had that the match with Ishii booked earlier as a backup plan, or plan B. The match was fantastic. PCO, you wouldn't have thought he'd taken a battering from Jonah. You wouldn't have thought he'd had the shit kicked out of him in the parking lot. Although he did end up on top of Jonah in the end,
massively.
But it added more fuel to the fire into Jonah, and the way he worked so well with Josh Alexander, you wouldn't have thought the only person to beat him was Josh Alexander so far.
Yeah. It's sort of that respect thing, isn't it? Like, okay, you're as good as me, maybe even better. I can respect you.
Yeah.
You know, so, but no, I will agree with Mark on this, that Honor No More is taking a lot of losses at the moment, so they are starting to lose a bit of credibility.
Yeah. Their main saving grace at the moment is Matt Taven and Mike Bennett.
Yeah. They
really, really pull something for them.
Yeah, Eddie Edwards needs a good run up to Rebellion, and maybe even at Rebellion. I assume that we're going to see OGK in that 18 thing, and I don't expect them to win it, but, you know, they need a good showing.
Definitely. Yeah, they need a good build-up to Rebellion. Both well, those three guys need a really big build-up to Rebellion. This is where you want Maria to actually open her mouth and at least distract people, but she's not doing that.
No.
But then I suppose everyone's ears are getting saving grace, so it's a double-edged sword.
Oh dear. Like I say, Maria is one of those that can sort of, some people can handle her, and other people, nah, not for me. but yeah, like speaking of like the knockouts, we then had something I'm sure you were quite chuffed with, the champ challenge.
Oh yes. Yeah. Champ Deonna Purrazzo, the only official women's ring, the official Ring of Honor Women's World Champion. Not this bullshit that Tony Khan's body pulled. Jesus, what the fucking hell? I can't think of a much more insulting way to say your number one contender.
Go for it, Joe. Go for it.
Honestly, it made me so angry and frustrated. You could read it in Jana's expression when she was interviewed by Jamie about just how pissed off she was and how insulted she actually was by the whole concept of that. It just shows that Tony Khan is all about Tony Khan. Even Vince McMahon swallowed his pride and let Mickie James into WWE and use her own music. He even let Cody back into WWE and use his music now. But no. We can't have a Ring of Honor Women's World Champion. No. We have to have an interim Ring of Honor Women's World Champion, because that sounds a lot more cleverer. Yeah, that sounds really smart, Tony.
Yes, Dean. Everyone take cover. Joke is having a run. No,
that's spoiling a bit.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? You've got your champion and you need to have another one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't really the Ring of Honor World Champion that we had defended.
No.
Was it? Which was nice, because we've had a run of Ring of Honor defenses. So you kind of forgot about the AAA Reign of the Reyes Champion, didn't you? And we were saying previously in the preview that we had every company that Impact was partnered with being represented, and nothing from AAA.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
Fabio Apache comes out
from AAA, and she was who Deonna beat for the title, wasn't she? So that was a nice little touch, I think.
I thought it was good, and it was a reminder who Deonna Purrazzo actually beat to win the title as well. She didn't beat Taya Valkyrie, she beat Fabio Apache for the title, I thought she beat Taya Valkyrie for it, to be honest. I honestly completely didn't know who she won the title from. So this was good to see. And it's good to see Fabi Apache back into Impact Wrestling again. It's been ages since she's been on. And she had a hell of a showing in this match too. So
I would not complain if Impact kept her around.
Yeah. When they go back to Mexico, she's going to be first on the...
she nearly always is, because I think she's one of the top stars over there in the women's division. But this was a hell of a match. And no, I don't think anyone does Sting.
I don't think anyone likes it unless they're up Tony's ass. No, they're like some devoted, demented fanboy. Even the hardcore WWE fans who don't like Impact Wrestling are laughing at this whole thing. You know, whether that's just a snub AEW, or they actually are legitimately pissed off about the whole concept, is up to them. But the way I see it, if they're against Tony, then they're on my side for that much. Ah, here we go. Ty Valkyrie vacated the title, so she didn't. Yeah, I thought Deonna Purrazzo did win the title just straight from Ty Valkyrie. I didn't know that it was vacated. But which is annoying, because I do remember Ty Valkyrie. I saw her farewell speech from AAA, but which was quite heartbreaking.
But that was it was quite a nice moment when she came back out, wasn't it? Because her last match was against Deonna, wasn't it? So it's going to be quite a nice circle that her first match back is going to be with Deonna.
When when Taya issued, said, mentioned in February that she was going to come for Deonna Purrazzo, the first thing Deonna Purrazzo did was remind everyone, the last time Taya Valkyrie stepped up against her, she was left crying at the end of the night.
Yeah.
That to me said that Taya Valkyrie's coming back for Rebellion, but I didn't think she'd be coming back this Friday or that last Friday. I thought she'd be coming back on Rebellion, and but the way it came out almost how I expected it to. I expected her to come on video and announce on video that she's going to come for Deonna Purrazzo, either on the Friday or as we lead up closer towards Rebellion, and it would just be like a sudden out of the blue short term match that. But to know that Impact Wrestling is planning on keeping Taya Valkyrie around a lot longer, now that they've announced it now, that she's made the plans now to come. So she was out for Rebellion, possibly a bit longer, possibly till Slammiversary, and maybe even you might even sign a contract with Impact Wrestling, because I know there's rumors that she's going to go to make the same mistake twice and go to AEW rather than remember what happens at WWE. But then I suppose she might not be too old to be in the women's division in AEW, but she was too old to be on NXT and too old to go on to Raw or SmackDown, according to Vince McMahon. So
I think AEW at the point they're taking anyone.
Yeah, well, we know that. That's what parasites do.
Yeah.
No, I was so excited to see Taya Valkyrie back. I couldn't. I watched the clip of her coming back at least two or three times in a row, after I first saw it. I still couldn't believe it was actually happening, that we're actually going to get Deonna Purrazzo versus Taya Valkyrie for the AAA Reign of Dominus Championship. This match, if Josh Alexander and Moose wasn't on the card, this match would have got me buying the pay-per-view.
Definitely. And that's a good thing, isn't it? There's a lot of matches that are popping up that you think, oh, that one's going to get me to buy it. That one's going to get me to buy it. And Impact have done that a lot recently. Like, you know, there was a lot of matches on Multiverse matches where you think, oh, that's a cracker of a match, I might buy that. Or you think, no, that one's not for me. That one is, though. You know, there's not just one standout match.
No, Sami Callihan talked about this when he was speaking to Jonah in his interview. That Impact Wrestling, they know there hasn't been a bad year for them in terms of booking and the pay-per-views and that since 2017 or 2018 onwards, he said. If you watch Callahan versus Jonah, then you'll pick it up. It was 2018, or he said, or 2017 onwards. But since then, since Don Callis and Scott D'Amore took over, everything has just gotten better and better and better for the company. Not blowing his smoke out of his ass, not putting over the company. As a big because he works there, he's putting it over as a. As an outsider looking in.
Definitely.
Jonah just said, you know, I completely agree with you. It's one of the reasons why I chose Impact Wrestling.
You know, Jonah, you get the feeling, is going to stick around longer than you felt he would. You know, a lot of wrestlers have done that. They've come in, you know, for maybe a set of tapings because that's all they were going to do. And then, you know, they've stayed for a year. I mean, look at people like Matt Cardona.
Yeah, you know, Aiden Prince is on the roster page again, so he's definitely here for a little bit longer, you know, and things like that. And of course, we are going to go on to the Briscoes a bit later on, a bit more depth, but, you know, there's plans to use the Briscoes a bit more too.
Definitely.
So it just shows that, you know, talent are coming and not just to get a bit of extra time on TV or an extra shot in spotlight, because they're coming to Impact Wrestling because they want to be seen and not just... an afterthought.
I say there's a lot of wrestlers that we're having come in and you know, some don't stick around, but others do. You know, like we've seen with the Bullet Club, I'd like to have seen more like ELP and more of Hikuleo when they were around, but you know, we've got, and I mean, even GOD, I'd like to have seen more of them. But you know, Jay White seems to be sticking around for a lot longer than we thought.
Yeah, Jay White's he's doing a lot of stuff with New Japan's American program and a lot of stuff they AEW at the moment too. So he's going to be here for probably the rest of the year.
Which is good,
which is fantastic, and we might still see El Fantasmo and Hikuleo later in the year. It all depends on when they can when they can get to Japan and places like that with them. And GOD might be hopefully we'll see them again soon. Although it'll be another GOD versus Bullet Club rivalry. It won't really go anywhere else at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. Which you say, speaking of Jay White, I think that kind of leads us on to our next match, which, you know, it's another two top of the card wrestlers in Jay White and Chris Sabin. I mean, going into this, you knew you were going to get a five-star match, and I think that's exactly what they delivered, isn't it?
Yeah, this was insane. And the night afterwards, they had a match against each other for New Japan in a New Japan Pro Wrestling show. So they had this match again the night afterwards. But this match for the multiverse of matches I'm talking about now, guys, not New Japan or wherever else they've been. This match was amazing. I was impressed with Jay White versus Alex Shelley, and Chris Sabin took it into another direction. Like, it was not like a cut and paste of Alex Shelley versus Jay White. It was a completely different match altogether. And that's just, and Chris Sabin's promo before the match really helped sell this match even more too.
Yeah, this seemed a lot more like your mat wrestling sort of ground based sort of match to me, which it gave a different dynamic to the match. And I think that the feud that you're having with the Good Brothers and the feud you're having with the Bullet Club and the Guns added that extra bite to this match as well. So that gave it that extra. It gave it that extra punch that these wrestlers could sort of give to each other. It weren't just two singles wrestlers going at it. It was two people already in a feud.
Yeah, it was immense in-ring storytelling from an outsider looking in. If you didn't know they were in a rivalry already and you weren't listening to the commentary, and as a guy who's following the rivalry, this has added more to it. And I was amazed that Chris Sabin won. I did not expect him to win. I thought Jay White was going to go over him because Chris Baton had pinned them in their tag team match for prayer. So I was surprised. I was surprised that Jay White of all people would take a loss, given how he's this whole tour is about him putting himself out there. But then that's just me thinking Jay White's too narrow minded and doesn't have respect for people, which he does.
Yeah, he does, yeah. But no, like I say, as soon as Alex Shelley lost, I just felt, nah, Chris Sabin's winning. You know, you think it's one for one and one for another. You know, if Alex Shelley would have won, you feel, okay, Sabin's losing.
Yeah. Well, I was just, I don't know. Part of me thought Sabin might win, but like I said, I was hoping Sabin would win, but I was leaning towards felt more Jay White's going to win because this is about Jay White, this whole all of his matches and like how the tour is going for him. But it was just great technical wrestling.
Yeah, and you knew you were going to get a great match coming into this.
Definitely.
And it was interesting what happened after the match as well, wasn't it? You know, There's a few different ways this can go now, isn't there, with Macklin?
Yeah, that was really surprising. I did not expect Steve Macklin to come out at all. What is Steve Macklin's purpose in this? You know, is he going to go against Chris Sabin now, or is he actually going to try and take on Jay White for Rebellion? There is no other Impact Plus special, I don't think, before Rebellion or afterwards. So. Could we get Jay White versus Steve Macklin at Rebellion, which would then take Chris Bay and Jay White out of the tag team match?
I felt for a while we would get the Guns versus Chris Bay and Jay White anyway as a singles match, as a single tag match. So I didn't think they'd be in that eight team match anyway. But if you're now adding Macklin into this, it really makes it interesting to where he fits.
Yeah, I think this puts the Motor City Machine Guns in the tag team match now at Rebellion. And maybe. I think Jay White and Chris Bay are going to have to deal with Steve Maclin now. But and yeah. Steve Maclin just took Chris Bay out because Maclin doubted, because Maclin was still pissed off at Steve for thinking he's the bad guy and fearing Steve Maclin's
going to get destroyed. Maclin is just out, you know, out to prove, okay, you think I'm the bad guy, I'm going to prove I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we were talking about this last week about, you know, will Jay White make Maclin an offer to join Bullet Club?
That's an interesting one too.
Yeah, but which I think he will make him an offer, but yeah. I think he'll turn it down. He's like, okay, you make me an offer? No, I'm Maclin's for Maclin.
Yeah. Maclin doesn't need the Bullet Club right now, ever.
Well, Maclin, I think, doesn't even, you know, once you put Maclin in a group, Maclin's not part, Maclin doesn't stand out anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs to be that guy you look over your shoulder at.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so, yeah, I could see him. And also, if he turns it down, he could then be looked at as, hang on, he's the one that turned the Bullet Club down. Does he become partly face? Is he partly a good guy now? So that could put him in an interesting dynamic there.
Yeah.
But no, this kind of story is taking an interesting turn.
Yeah, it's just got better and better, this storyline, and it's just great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to now see him as anything else other than a lone wolf.
Definitely.
You know, even if we saw someone else who he was like formerly aligned with turn up, you couldn't see him joining up with them.
No.
It's strange to think of him. I think we'll. Yeah, that's very possible.
Yeah, I think we will. Let's I'm going to put it out there now, guys. I think we are definitely going to see Jay White versus Steve Maclin come Rebellion.
Yeah. So. Yeah. They say, and that then takes us to the main event, which was, I think, worthy of being a main event. You know, many people have ill feelings towards them, but I think they still perform the Good Brothers versus the Briscoes in the main event.
Yeah,
hell of a tag match, you know, and it proves that Impact still know how to book tag team wrestling.
They surpass the other companies when it comes to tag team wrestling. They surpass them fully.
Yeah, and I say I've not seen too much of the good of the Briscoes. I've seen bits and pieces, but this was probably my third time maybe seeing them. You know, I've seen them years ago, but the first thing that jumped off the screen when they came out, man, they have charisma.
they're big. I'd seen clips of them, but their first back when I used to watch Ring of Honor, God knows, back 2016. So I'm not for sure if they were then they were a part of Ring of Honor then, but. It's been a while since I've seen them, and I never saw them in a full match. So when they came out, they're big, and you can see what, and to know that this rivalry with the Good Brothers has been going on for so long and never ever really got a final conclusion. This being the rubber match, that had a huge amount of pressure on both teams to really, really put it out there, and that added more to the match as well. It really got me exciting to see. So who is really going to come out on top? The Good Brothers, have seen them dominate, and we know how good they are. But the Briscoes are guys I've never really seen, never really had a chance to sit down and study. And well, yes, they lost. They didn't lose cleanly. They lost because of Chris Bay.
Yeah, mostly. I don't get why they lost, and especially because they lost earlier in the night. I was like, well, the Good Brothers are winning. The Briscoes are winning this.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, the fact that they lost, I was like, really? But then obviously what happened after, you think, okay, have they lost so they can win, you know, get the win back?
Yeah. I was speaking to you about this before we come on. After we found out that Impact Wrestling's got long-term plans for him. I think the Briscoes are going to go into this tag team match with Rebellion. No, yeah, I mean, it's going to come down between the Briscoes and the Good Brothers, or Violent by Design and the Briscoes. And hopefully the Violent by Design retain, but we could see new champions, and if we do, it's not going to be the Good Brothers.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways that that match can go. I mean, we don't even know the participants yet, after all.
No, most of them are at ringside in that lumberjack match.
Yeah, but then there's, I mean, like I say, if we think that maybe the Machine Guns or Jay White and Chris Bay come out, that does leave two spots, and you've got to think maybe the Briscoes would be one of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be leave possibly one spot, or if that other one spot is the Machine Guns, then yeah, that is the other one. But I still think VBD will win that match, like you say. But it's one of those where how it's booked and who eliminates who will lead to a lot of different stories. But yeah, the Briscoes cut a promo saying that they'll look to come back and they'll be happy to come back. And I can definitely see them at Rebellion, or if not at Rebellion, they'll be at the tapings, and within time, I reckon that there'll be an impact.
Yeah, I really don't see them going to.
You don't think so?
No. I don't see them going to the paper Ring of Honor, but Kurt Cassin doesn't think they're going to be at Rebellion. I think they will. I really do. And I honestly hope so, because they deserve good representation. They're not going to get it outside of Impact Wrestling. Oh, they might have. No, GCW.
Depending on the time, you know. Remember, they done the Ring of Honor Supercard and the and this event in both in that day. So
yeah, I was apart between this their matches or something like that.
So yeah, depending on what the time is, the time difference is, they have done it.
Yeah, well, we can always live in Dream, of course, as well. So. But either way, it's going to be an interesting night. Knowing that Impact Wrestling has plans for them and Ty Valkyrie leading up to Rebellion, it's got people who've tuned into this now are going to hopefully be watching Impact Wrestling a bit more, just to see that what they can do with them.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. And I say it's just nice to know that there are Impact have interest.
Yeah. Impact Wrestling is the forbidden door, guys. Just, I know you know that.
But oh, definitely.
For those of you who've just tuned in, and you think the forbidden door is some is no. Actually, I'm not going to finish that sentence, because that's a bit too explicit and a bit too graphic for.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this event, you had you had Impact, you had AAA, you had New Japan, you had Noah, you had NWA, and then you had. Six different promotions on one show.
Yeah. Yeah, and we don't know. I've forgotten where I was going to go with that. Yeah, we got at least six different companies represented at multi-person matches. So, and the promise for more at Rebellion, the promise for more at Slammiversary.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, like. It's quite exciting to know that, you know, Impact is always planning more.
Yeah, they're making their 20th year really stand out.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah. They're not just treating it as another year. They know it's their 20th year, and they are really trying to make it feel like their 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
That would pretty something. Like, they did talk about trying to tape some bits and pieces, I think, during WrestleCon weekend, and I assume those were bits and pieces to try and lead up to Rebellion, because you assume.
I would assume most of that would have been interviews and stuff.
Maybe.
Just because there wouldn't have been enough time or space to get an event like for the matches and that. But then they could just be taking matches from different shows and use them as part of the story. Like I said, Jay White's taking on Chris Sabin elsewhere over this weekend too, and Mike Bailey took on Jay White as well. You know, they could have used that somewhere.
Mm.
It's just used as an example. There's quite a few other options out there too.
Yeah. We'll say. I think overall, you know, I'd definitely put this event. I think this, in my opinion, is the best we've seen from Impact since Hard to Kill. I think I gave Hard to Kill about a 9.5, and I think I would give this about maybe an 8.5.
Yeah, if we didn't have the audio issues, as much as it didn't bother me personally, but I know it is irritating, and it was frustrating not being able to hear the promos in the ring.
Well, there was a few what's the word? Production issues as well. I think there was a few times where Gia was cutting a cutting a backstage interview, and then just as she'd finished, she was like, "And here's," and then it would cut. Like she was then going to do the second interview, and there was a few hiccups here and there was as well. But so I think they do need to sharpen up on the live production.
Well, mind you, I don't think it's the same team working with that they usually would have at this event. So. So they can get a bit of leeway from me for that.
I will give them credit for this though. When they had the Ultimate X, I think they had maybe a one minute, two minute interview, and then when we had the mixed tag match, that was gone. So credit to them for that. that was down fast.
Yeah, that was down real quick.
But no, overall great show. Yeah, easily better than Sacrifice and No Surrender, I think.
Yeah.
We're have a look into this coming week. Have you managed to see the digital media match from last night?
No, I've not. I've been tied up with me dogs. Yes, I mean, both my puppies have been keeping me busy, and so unfortunately, I've not been able to catch up with the match, but from what I have heard, it's a pretty damn good one. And I know it will be on that ringside bill. We'll be very, very interested in seeing. Is Manjade all right?
I would say I don't know if you have to worry too much about ringside bill because he should be in there. he's at most of them, isn't he?
Yeah.
No, we had like you say, Big Joe Doring from Violent by Design versus, I believe it was Karu. Taking place at Destiny Wrestling. It was a pretty decent match. Karu looks like he's definitely got something. Definitely one to keep an eye on. Really strange seeing Joe Doring though. Coming out to the Violent by Design theme. And then kind of wrestling like a babyface cowboy. Really strange. It's a hell of a match. Hell of a match. And yeah, definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, there's quite a few things I got to catch up on. I got to check that one out. I'm going to try and see if this Sami Callihan with Brian Myers is going all right too, because I had technical issues with that on Sunday. So the app kept crashing on me when I got to about 9 minutes into it. So I literally just found out about Brian Myers injuring his hand, and then it stopped loading. So I'm really, really frustrated. So I got to catch that up with that too.
That's fine. He'll have to ask Scott if he can do the book the old tie one arm behind his back match.
Yeah. Well, do a strap match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine you have a strap with Myers and W. Morrissey. Morrissey will just throw him across the. Just do that, and Myers will be off his feet and halfway across the building. Yeah. So I think that's.
Yeah. I say, he's got a couple of weeks to heal up, you assume. Yeah. I mean, we haven't got anything, I don't think, this week. I think they're doing a recap, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a recap, yeah. Recap on the whole night this week. So it'll be post-match interviews and stuff too, which would be worth checking out.
Mm. Yeah, and on the Impact, I don't know if it's just Impact Plus or if it's on YouTube Insiders, but they're doing a special of IPWF. So I believe it's in a new one. I don't know if there's a repeat.
Yeah, it's they filmed this one after they did the multiverse matches.
Okay, yeah.
This one will be on YouTube Insiders as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, that'll be definitely something to check out. I always find, I know that they're not everyone's cup of tea, but I always find it really amusing. I always find it's a good bit of fun. I do question doing this 3 weeks away from Rebellion.
Yeah,
but you know, it's being done, so you know, you can't do nothing now.
Well, it gives all the wrestlers time to recover. Jordan Grace is taking the next few weeks off from wrestling to rest up, so it gives everyone to just time to recover and get ready for a Rebellion.
Yeah, but everything's already been taped anyway, hasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I know Jordan Grace is after the stuff she's done over the three-day weekend, shall we say, WrestleMania weekend. She's knackered, basically.
These are a few interesting things I'd like to see before the end of the year. Samoa Joe joins Honor No More. That probably ain't going to happen because he's just debuted on AEW. No,
he's now officially a part of AEW now.
Yeah. So Good Brothers renew their contracts and then go to All Japan. Yeah, I still think the Good Brothers will re-sign. Last one is super. Shawn Michaels never retired. Perhaps he could fight Rhino. I don't see him leaving the WWE personally.
No, Shawn Michaels might not be wrestling anymore, but he's still under contract to WWE.
Yeah.
So he'll be representing them wherever he goes. So it's just not going to happen, sadly.
Yeah. But no, it's quite interesting to have a go. Like I say, I definitely see the Good Brothers re-sign. A lot of people say, they'll leave when their contracts are up. Never say never.
No, I think they're going to stay around a bit longer.
Mm. Yeah.
Top
five greatest moments from TNA Wrestling. Okay, that'll be a great one to look at, Hakeem. Top five greatest moments from the Asylum era.
Oh, that'd be good. Nice history lesson for me.
Yes.
Nice history lesson. Something I need a bit more
of. Make sure you give Hakeem's articles a look. Always a great read. So yeah, I can't recommend them enough at all. And yeah, while we're given things to have a look at, make sure you head over to the Pro Wrestling Tees shop because we've got a 20% sale off. So yeah, use the code SPRING22, and yeah, make sure you get your merch and get your 20% sale.
I'm on it tonight.
You're on it tonight, Alan.
Yeah, I'm getting my shirts done. that's no reference to Josh Matthews whenever marketing would come up, but that's something I've been meaning to do for a while, is to get some more shirts in. So I'm going to get some more shirts in. I've got a couple.
Yeah, I need to refresh my wardrobe. It's just finding the time when I got the money to do it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things in that you have everything piled in at once. And then and it's just been like those couple of months where everything is just piled in that I just had to pay out for. but no, like I say, I think we've pretty much got through everything now. So yeah, like I say, if you've enjoyed the show, don't forget to give the TNI Patreon a look. And that's full of great extra content and a whole lot of fun as well. We also give the TNI team also give reviews of the shows tomorrow after the show goes live. They may not tomorrow, given the circumstances, but always make sure you give them a look. You can also listen on the go by searching Total Nonstop Impact on SoundCloud, Spotify, and all your favorite streaming searches. Just type Total Nonstop Impact in the description and it will come up. Joe, where can we find you, bud?
You can jump onto Twitter, look for at JerkEmptySpace, or you can go over to WrestleBuddy.com, go for the Impact Wrestling Archives, and you'll see a couple of articles from me there. I've actually got to start getting around to putting together my next one, as we're coming up to Rebellion now. So it's a look back from Rebellion to, I'm going to go back to Rebellion and what they've done building up to Rebellion. So from about February onwards. So it's going to be missed out. I've done from January to mid-February the first one. So this will be, as we got towards Impact Wrestling's 20th anniversary and trying to keep a look back at what they've done over the last couple of months and then put it all into context. So we'll be starting off from there. Mm. Anyway, back to now. You can also jump onto Facebook, look for me there. Look for hashtag empty space, hashtag the void, or if you fancy to tickle your taste buds and your sense of humor, look for hashtag daily giggle. And not trying not to piss myself laughing now, thinking about it. fuck. And they laughed. And yes, head over to Facebook, look for hashtag empty space, hashtag the void, or hashtag daily giggle. Come in with an open mind and you just might keep your sanity.
And I really would suggest going and having a look for hashtag empty giggle. Some of the stuff Joe posts is absolutely hilarious and you will be sometimes laughing for days. And you can find me over on Twitter at simplysteve311, where I post everything Impact Wrestling related. You can also head over to WrestleBuddy.com and look under the Impact Wrestling banner for any Impact Wrestling articles you may fancy reading for myself. I put one out every Thursday, so keep a lookout for tomorrow for a new one that I'll be posting. You can find the Bison at LordBison45, so make sure you give the Bison a follow. He does fantastic work representing Impact Wrestling and TNI. And if you've enjoyed the show, make sure you give the bell a tick, a squeeze, and a smash. It's been absolutely great sort of talking to everyone today. And you can find us all at We Talk Impact on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can also find us on Twitch as well, and all of our merch and pro wrestling sweet teas by searching Total Nonstop Impact. And feel free to join the TNI UK Facebook and Discord in the description below. With all that being said, I've been Simply Steve. This has been episode 77 of Impacted. And take care, everyone.
Impacted! We are Impacted! Ready?